Jayadandamadava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivada Dadi. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivada Dadi. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jayadanda Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astortara Sata Sri Shrimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charna Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astortara Sata Sri Shrimadis Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Seko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shvedvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Chamakunda Radhakunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Gangamai Ki Jai. Sri Jamanamai Ki Jai. Shrimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Nitai Gau Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Shishu Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, entitled Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text 32. Tvam Surabhi Statva Bhubhusha Yada. Sada Bivadardana Pada Pitam. Aishvarya Vairagya Yasho Vodoboda. Virya Shriya Purtamaham Prapadye. Tvam Suribhis Tattva Bhubhusa Yada. Sada Bivadardana Pada Pitam. Aishvarya Vairagya Yasho Vaboda. Virya Shriya Purtamaham Prapadye. Tvam Suribhis Tattva Bhubhusa Yada. Sada Vivadardana Pada Pitam. Aishwarya Vairagya Yasho Vaboda. Virya Shriya Purtamaham Prapadye. Please chant. Tam Surabhi Statva Bhubhuta Sayada. Sada Vivadardana Pada Pitam. Aishwarya Vairagya Yasho Vaboda. Virya Shriya Purtamaham Prapadye. Tvam Surabhi Statva Vibhut Sadaya. Sada Vivadardana Pada Pitam. Aishwarya Vairagya Shova Bodha. Virya Shriya Purtamaham Prapapadye. Tvam Surabhi Statva Bhubhut Sayada. Sada Vivadardana Pada Bitam. Aishwarya Vairagya Yasho Vaboda. Virya Shriya Purtamaham Prapadye. Mutters? Sorry. Go ahead. Tvam Surabhi Statva Bhubhusha Yada. Sada viva darhana padapitam. Aishwarya vairagya shova bodha. Virya shriya purtamaham prapadye. Dvam suri bistatva bubut sayada. Sada viva darhana pada pitam. Aishwarya vairagya yashova bodha. Virya shriya purtamaham prapadye. Dvam suri bistatva bibhut sayada. Sada viva darhana padapitam. Aishwarya vairagya yashova bodha. Virya shriya purtamaham prapadye. Word for word. Tvam, unto you. Suribihi, by the great sages. Tattva, the absolute truth. Bubutshaya, with a desire to understand. Adha, certainly. Sada, always. Abhivada, of worshipful respects. Arhana, which are worthy. Pada, of your feet. Pitam, to the seat. Aishwarya, opulence. Vairagya, renunciation. Yashaha, fame. Avabodha, knowledge. Virya, strength. Shriya, with beauty. Purtam, who are full. Aham, I. Prapadye, surrender. Translation and by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the reservoir that always deserves to receive worshipful homage from all great sages eager to understand the absolute truth. You are full in opulence, renunciation, transcendental fame, knowledge, strength, and beauty. And therefore, I surrender myself unto your lotus feet. Purport. Actually, those who are searching after the absolute truth must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advised Arjuna many times to surrender unto Him, especially at the end of the 9th chapter. Manmana bhava mad bhakta. If you want to be perfect, just always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your obeisances to me. In this way, you will understand me. The Supreme, the Personality of Godhead, and ultimately you will come back to me, back to Godhead, back home. Why is it so? The Lord is always full in six opulences, as mentioned herein: wealth, renunciation, fame, knowledge, strength, and beauty. The word purtam means in full. No one can claim that all wealth belongs to him, but Krishna can claim it, since he has full wealth. Similarly, he is full in knowledge, renunciation, strength, and beauty. He is full in everything, and no one can surpass him. Another one of Krishna's names is Asamordva. which means that no one is equal to or greater than him. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shmati Shila Virbhav Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapat Pankaja Daine Prabhupada Nuvadaya Nama Shivirbhave Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pashtata Deshatarani Hare Krishna. So this verse describes Krishna's opulences, his six transcendental qualities that he possesses in full. So the first described here is Aishwarya, opulence. So if when Krishna appeared, how does he appear, as this tiny wrinkly baby? Or did he appear in his full opulence? When he appeared in the jail cell of Kamsa, in front of his parents, he appeared with all beauty, so much opulence, jewelry, weapons. He didn't appear as a little tiny wrinkly baby as we're accustomed to. I remember when many years ago, I just became a devotee, a friend of mine told me that he took his little four-year-old son to see his just-born cousin. So when they went, you know, all the ladies, very compassionate, oh, the baby's so cute. This little boy says, oh, you're so ugly. No wonder you're hiding under auntie's dress for so long. So later on, I recalled that is direct speech, saying exactly as it is, Mukhya Vritti. What is our temple president's name again? Okay, so yes, direct speech, tell you exactly as it is. So anyway, so that's, you know, that is Krishna's quality. Even from the time he appeared in his full opulence. And even when he was a little child in Vrindavan, he had so many opulences. Actually, Lord Brahma describes within his capacity, Lord Brahma, he didn't know much of Krishna's more intimate pastimes, but he describes in the Brahma Samhita, which he would conform towards the end, the second to last verse, hopefully we'll get to that later. But in the 29th verse, he said, Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha laksha vritesha surabira vipala tam sahasra sata sambrahma sevyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So he describes that Krishna's abode and his surrounding is what is all chintamani, touchstones, chintamani stones, that very, very precious jewelry and very, very opulent. And he's surrounded, chintamani prakarasadma, sukalpa vriksha, laksha, vritesha surabir. So kalpa vriksha, laksha, so millions of kalpa vriksha trees, of wish-fulfilling trees. So this is Krishna's opulence, that everything around him that you can just desire and it appears. So these are the kalpa vriksha trees. And then sahasra shata, he described that sahasra, thousands, and shata, hundreds. So hundreds of thousands of lakshmis or gopis are serving him. So other devotees describe that it is actually millions of gopis. So Lord Brahma knows about hundreds of thousands of gopis, because he wasn't allowed to enter into the inner circle of Krishna's pastimes. So anyway, so like that, so Krishna has so much opulences that it's unimaginable, that even when he went to Mathura and he killed Kamsa and Jarasandha was coming to attack, what he did, all the residents of Mathura, they went to sleep. And where did they wake up? Next morning they wake up in Dwarka, which Krishna created in the middle of the ocean overnight. So he didn't have to work hard like us trying to accumulate some wealth. Just by thinking of it, everything is there. So that is Krishna's quality. I remember there's one man, I think he is in Mexico. He wanted to have a lot of opulence. He has some shoe manufacturing company. So he purchased an apartment building, a 12-story apartment building. And each building, each floor, he had one wife. So he had 12 wives. And his idea is that he wants to have 100 children. But the wife says, no, that's not going to happen. So anyway, so he wants to have that opulence. Even across the street from our temple in Essequibo, where I grew up, there's this one upcoming devotee. He wants to be very opulent, so he was building this three-story building. The top was a helicopter pad, and he has a ramp that drove up to the second floor that would drive his car right into his bedroom. Anyway, nothing ever happened. His body didn't allow. He passed away. So, but Krishna in Dwarka, how many palaces he had only for his wives? 16,108. He didn't have one apartment building and put them in a room. No, they were all individual palaces that is described that each one had at least 100,000 maid servants. And they were all gems and pearls and rubies, very precious. So unlimited opulences that's there. So that is our Lord. He's complete with everything. Yeah. And then we can go to his second quality as described here, vairagya, renunciation. So the Lord is very renounced. In the middle of, of the rasa dance with all the gopis, so many young girls he's surrounded by, and he immediately gives them up. When he was in Dwarka, he would have all his queens that he would rest with them, sleep in the nights. But what he does early in the morning, he gave it up, immediately get up. So one time Satyabhama asked Queen Draupadi, when they went to see her in the forest, when they were in exile, that how come you're, what's the secret of you controlling your husband so much? Your husbands, that is it that you dress so nicely, you allure them, that we can't even get Krishna to stay in bed with us. He gets up, he's not attached. Anyway, you don't want to know what Draupadi said to her. So, huh? What did you say? Okay. So anyway, it's a little out of the context, but I'll say it. So Draupadi became very angry at her. She said, no, he said, those things are for wicked women. That the way I conduct myself is that I serve my husbands very faithfully. I go to bed after them. I get up before them. I take care of all their needs. Even in the middle of the night, they get up, something is wrong, I immediately get up to serve them. I take care of all the accounting. And I never show them an angry face, even though I may be disturbed. I'm always pleasant. And in reciprocation, that's the way of her feminine counter. She didn't do it on purpose, but it's just in reciprocation. So that, in short, that was Draupadi's answer. So anyway, Lord Ram, the next morning, Lord Ram was supposed to be crowned the emperor, the king of Ayodhya. And what happened the night before? His father said, I have to banish you. I'm banishing you to the forest for 14 years. How did Lord Ram react? Okay, Baba, no problem. Immediately give up everything. That's renunciation. Immediately. Even Lord Krishna, when he was there back in Dwarka, Jarasandha was fighting with him. He won point after the 17th battle. He ran away. Krishna ran away. So he wasn't attached. Well, okay, people are going to call me a coward, call me a sissy that I'm running away from battle. In those days, no one turns their back on the enemy. But Krishna renounced even that idea, and he left. Of course, there are other pastimes that he had promised not to, kill Jarasandha and so forth. So, but anyway, that's his renunciation. So much opulence, even when he conquered Mathura, Krishna didn't take it. Generally, whenever a king conquered a kingdom, they take the kingdom for themselves. Krishna didn't do that. He put his grandfather, Ugrasena, in charge. Similarly, when they finally killed Jarasandha, they put Jarasandha's son in charge. When Lord Ram killed Ravana, he put Bibhishan in charge. He didn't take Lanka for himself. So that's the kind of a renunciation that we're talking about. So let's see what else is here. So Yashaha, fame. So Krishna is all famous. How long ago was the Ramayana took place? 2 million years ago, about. And on to now, it's world famous. Krishna had his pastimes 5,000 years ago. And it's so famous until today, still remember. Generally, after a few years, we forget about who was such a great person or whatever, but the Lord's fame continues eternally. He's famous. Even in the last class, where is Akinchana Krishna Prabhu? He was asking in the last class about Krishna and Ram being described as henpecked. But their being henpecked makes them more famous. If we try that, we're going to become infamous. No one wants to hear. You're going to be taken off the list. But the Lord becomes more famous by these activities. So everything he becomes famous for. So that is the quality of his fame, that anything, because it's transcendental, then it becomes very famous. The world speaks about it. They spoke about it then. They're speaking about it now, and they'll be speaking about it in the future. So that is fame. Then avabodha, knowledge. So Krishna is all knowledgeable. Even this is described in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15:15. That not only he's the cause of knowledge and forgetfulness, but he's the root of all knowledge. Yeah, Veda Vit. That he's the cause of all knowledge. Everything comes from him. Yeah, he's the ultimate goal. So he's supremely knowledgeable. Everything comes from him. It's described that everything that Lord Brahma creates, it's because of him. All the knowledge that's there is because of Krishna. Everything that's there, because he's all knowledgeable of the past, present, and future. Trikalagya. So like that, yeah, Krishna is all knowledgeable. There's nothing that he doesn't know about. There's nothing that is hidden. Yeah, he creates everything. Everything comes from him, so he understands everything. He knows everything. Then we have virya, strength. Krishna is all-powerful. Even when he was a baby this morning, they were showing it up on the screen. He was killing demons in Vrindavan. And what weapons did Krishna use to kill the demons? What? Just his hands. No weapons. He was just using his hands to... Almost every day, Krishna was killing a demon. He was using his hands. And all of Krishna's weapons are personalities. So at some point, they complained, well, what's the purpose of us that we, you know, we're not being engaged in your service? So after some time, Krishna starts using his Sharanga bow and his weapons to engage his devotees in his service. Not that he needed them. Even when he was only 7 years old, they had a flood in Vrindavan, Lord Indra was angry, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. So what was under there? He was just this little boy, and he lifted Govardhan Hill in his left hand, in his whole hand, and then Mother Yashoda became scared. Oh my Lala, you know, are you going to be okay? Do you have the strength to hold up this hill? I know little children that like to show off their ability. He said, oh Maya, you think I can't do it with my hand? Look, I'll do it with my little finger. And from then he held up the hill with his little finger for 7 days. That's how he came to hold up with his pinky. And again, with his opulences, what was under that hill when it was lifted? Was it dirt and mud and water and flood? No. It was filled with gems and pearls and rubies. Everything was opulent. Actually, many years ago, about 20 years ago, on that wall where you have that Anada service chart, there was a beautiful painting there of Krishna and the gopis. He was very well decorated. And one devotee who was doing gemstones at the time, he told me that he estimated from Krishna's decoration alone for that one day was $1.5 million. That was his decoration. So gives an idea of, you know, his opulence. So anyway, his strength, he was lifting. And then when you had, when Krishna was 8 years old, he had the bull, Aristasura. They said his bull was so big that the hump on his back was touching the clouds. And how did Krishna kill him? Krishna grabbed him and trashed him, you know, like in India, how, or the Caribbean, how the ladies would wash clothes. They would beat it on a rock, throw it over the shoulder. So that's how Krishna was grabbing Aristasura and beating him. Anyone of you ever, how many of you went to Ram Ghat here in Braj? Ram Ghat, there was so there's that famous pastime there that the residents, they were washing clothes, beating on this rock, this flat rock. And then one night, Lord Balaram dreamt them, or the Pujari someone, he said that, you're all washing your clothes, beating on my back. That this stone is the deity of my form, that take it out and you'll see. So next day, all the residents went, and they excavated this big stone. On the underside was the deity carved of Balaram. So then that went into the temple. That's the pastime of Ram Ghat. So they were trashing their clothes. So like that, Krishna was doing with Aristasura. You know, he was trashing him like that. So that's an idea of his strength. You know, so even Hanuman, even his devotee was so strong, all the devotees became so strong. So Krishna had all the power. There was nothing that Krishna couldn't do. He told Arjuna that all these soldiers are already dead. I have already killed them. You are but an instrument. Krishna had already done all of that, but he wants to give his devotee the fame. Even one time, Srila Prabhupada confided, oh, Lord Chaitanya left all of this for me to get the fame. Lord Chaitanya could have done it himself. He could have spread his entire movement himself. But he gave it to others. So like that, his strength is there. And, Shriya. Yeah. With beauty, he was all beautiful. Again, when he appeared with all his beauty. It was so beautiful that all his scriptures, everything constantly describes Krishna's beauty. Yeah, it's actually indescribable. Even says that the gopis are so beautiful, members of the heavenly planets are so beautiful, but still their beauty is faded in the presence of Krishna. So that's how beautiful it is. There's so many prayers we glorify constantly of Krishna's beauty. All his fame, name, everything. So his beauty is there, and all incarnations is always described to be so beautiful. Look at Lord Varaha. That's a pig, a hog. We know all those are the ugliest creatures. But when the Lord appeared in that form, he's most beautiful. He's very beautiful. So Lord Varaha. So anyway, so this beauty is there. Anywhere you turn, actually Krishna's beauty says that you cannot really describe it. Actually, one time, there's one Ram Bhakta. He was describing, he was giving katha on Lord Ram. So then he said, oh, Lord Ram is as beautiful as, and he paused, he ran out of words. He said, oh, Lord Ram is as beautiful as Lord Ram. Because he can't get anything in this world to compare to the beauty of Lord Ram. So he said, he's as beautiful as Lord Ram. So that beauty is there. And what else? Did we cover everything? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, so these are the qualities of the Lord. And as for the devotee has his qualities also that coincides that when you have these qualities of the Lord, and when you have the qualities of the devotee, then it's only natural that the two comes together. As the devotee understands his position, and he only gets these qualities, one only gets these divine qualities when one becomes a devotee, when one surrenders to the Lord. So here, like we have the 26 qualities of a devotee, mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, is described here that he's very kind to everyone. 2, he does not make anyone his enemy. 3, he's truthful. 4, he's equal to everyone. 5, no one can find any fault with him. 6, he's magnanimous. 7, he's mild. 8, he's always clean. 9, he's without possessions. 10, he works for everyone's benefit. 11, he's very peaceful. 12, he's always surrendered to Krishna. 13, he has no material desires. 14, he's very meek. 15, he's steady. 16, he controls his senses. 17, he does not eat more than required. 18, he is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. 19, he offers respect to everyone. 20, he does not desire any respect for himself. 21, he is very grave. 22, he is merciful. 23, he is friendly. 24, he is poetic. 25, he is expert. 26, he is silent. Actually, coincidentally, I just read an article about Ayendra Prabhu. So it talks about here that the devotee is not distracted by the Lord's illusory energy. So once there was he was invited to do kirtan at a wedding. And he said no, that he's not going to do that because, you know, wedding is a lot of sense gratification, sport, this, that. And this is not the purpose of kirtan. So they insisted. So he said, okay, I'll do it under one condition, that I be blindfolded. So throughout the session, they blindfolded him. He went there and he did kirtan for the occasion. So he said he wants to be blindfolded because he doesn't want to see what's going on. He doesn't want his mind to be strayed away from the intensity of the holy names. So that was Ayendra Prabhu's intensity on doing kirtan. It wasn't for fame or name, but for service, for glorifying the Lord. So this is the quality. And so then we also have the Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavad Gita, which is chapter 10, text 8 through 11. So let's take a look at that. Yeah, to see that the quality and how the Lord and his devotee blends together. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddhi bhava samanvitaha. Buddha bhava. Translation, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly knows this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all his hearts, their hearts. So this is exactly what Kardam Muni is saying here in this verse, that once we understand the Lord, then there's only one option we have. I like to use this phrase. We have one option to use our independence correctly. So how do we use our independence? To be dependent on the Lord, to surrender to the Lord. So that's the essence of this verse. And then verse 9, mat chitta mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. This is the second verse of the Chaturshloki. The Lord is saying that the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. 10. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam yena mam upayantite. And Krishna is saying again, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So as one surrenders, and even Lord Brahma says this in the second to last verse of the Brahma Samhita chapter 5 that we recite here every morning. I'll go to that in a minute. He says a similar thing, that as we devote ourselves, we surrender, then our realization would come gradually. And 11, tesam evanu kam partam aham agyana jam tama nasa yam atma bhavasto gyana dipena bhashvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge. With the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So these four verses are considered the key verses of Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita condensed in these four verses, that Krishna describes the relationship between himself and his devotee. So that's what this verse is talking about. That once one becomes a devotee, then he automatically gets into this relationship. It's inevitable. He gets into this relationship. And then the next few verses, Arjuna is saying, Param Brahma Param Dhamma. Yeah, that he's saying, Now Arjuna is confirming that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages, such as Narada, Asita, Deval, and Vyasa, confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. So there's nothing clearer than this for us to receive. Everything Krishna is very clearly spelling it out. In this verse, Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport that no one can claim to be full in all the six opulences. Only Krishna can do that. And Krishna is boldly declaring here to Arjuna that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You surrender unto me. In the end of the ninth chapter, Manmanabhava Madhakto, also Krishna is saying, telling directly. So this is our position, this is our understanding in devotional service, that here is the Lord, here are his qualities, and that's how we develop love for him. Like, if we don't know of someone, we cannot love that person. It's impossible for you to love someone or something that you have no knowledge about. So therefore, Krishna is giving the knowledge about himself. And by so doing, and we learning about that, then we are able to develop love for him. We are able to surrender. We are able to acknowledge. And we do that with intelligence. That's why the Bhakti Yoga is called Buddhi Yoga. You know, surrender and devotional service with intelligence. So anyway, these are a few points. So I'll stop here. I actually have to get into a meeting at 9 o'clock. So if anyone has any comments or questions, we can take. So, Mother Ragatmika.
Speaking of the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita, when I would distribute the Bhagavad Gita, I would actually read those to people. Yeah. They're so relatable for anyone who's actually a kind of a devout Christian, whatever, you know. Yeah. They can see how Krishna's relating to the devotee there. Also, I remember a verse in the Bhagavatam where it states, his moon-like face is a drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, there's something similar in the Brahma Samhita. Was that? Okay. Venugita from the Bhagavatam. Yeah. In the Brahma Samhita verses, there's something similar there too. And he says that the devotees see the Lord with the salve of love. That verse. Hello, Chanena. Shantai Shadai Varidayeshu Vilokayanti. Yam Shama Sundaram. It's all the beauty. Yes. So this, and there are many, many other places where the beauty of the Lord is described. And yes, I really like that idea of, you know, that Sankirtan, of quoting these verses, because it's so relatable. And it has nothing to do with any religious background. It's so straight and direct. And, you know, anyone can appreciate. So anyway, thank you so much for that comment. Very comforting, yes. Very, very relatable. And that's one of, I remember when Panchatattva Prabhu, Panchagaura Prabhu, sorry. Yes, so I remember when we were in school, this is one of the things that they taught us, that we should present Krishna consciousness so that it's very relatable to, you know, situation and to others. Yes, Prabhu, Panchagaura Prabhu.
So Krishna declared that I'm not going to fight in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but then he showed Arjuna that he already killed everybody. So is he actually fighting, or is he just kind of causing things to happen? I think you were mentioning he doesn't cause anything, or he's neutral. But then here he is. He's actually devouring everybody, and, you know, especially when he's seeing the universal form. He's seeing Krishna devouring all the soldiers and everything like that.
Yeah, because Krishna describes himself as above, you know, he's above the material qualities, he's above the qualities. So he can do anything at any time that he, you know, he already took care. His purpose of coming was to annihilate the demons. So that's his purpose of taking his one of the taking that avatar, one of the purposes. So he has done that, he already did it, but he's using his devotees to give them the fame. Just like Lord Chaitanya predicted that this holy name will be spread in every town and village, which means he already made all the arrangements. But he's giving his devotees, giving us an opportunity to partake and get the fame. So similarly, Krishna is letting Arjuna, you know, get the fame. He's not attached to the idea. He's already so famous. You know, what's the big deal if somebody said, oh, Krishna killed all these warriors on the battlefield? It doesn't matter to him because he already has so much. Just like a rich man, very rich man, somebody said, you know, go up on the stage and said, oh, Mr. Such and Such, you know, he has $1,000. That doesn't make sense to him because he's a multi-millionaire. $1,000 doesn't mean anything. So like that, the killing of all these soldiers on the battlefield doesn't mean anything to Krishna in terms of his fame. He has done so because that's, you know, that's part of his purpose. He has already assembled all of them. He made all the arrangements, but he let his devotee take the credit. Yes, Pran Govinda Prabhu?
I think Panchagora Prabhu's poem, this is 1133, Tasmad Uttishtata Jasolavishya. Purvaimeva Nihita, Maiva Nihita, I already put them to death. But what did not take place, whether they surrendered to him or not, that will never take place until each soul decide on his own to surrender. So that's why the battlefield took 18 days. He was just waiting for them to surrender. Otherwise, yes, in a moment he's done. Same thing with what you quoted is also very nice. That prithivite ache jata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mor naam. In one sense, that the whole world, every city, or you can say street corner, there will be holy name will be sung. But he did not say who will do it. That's why we come. Yeah. Prabhupada took that mission to fulfill the vision of Lord Chaitanya. And we are all individually joined to assist Prabhupada in that mission. Then we make our life successful. And by engaging others, we make their life successful. That is missing. So that is what happening.
Yeah,
to
actually,
us.
Yes, and that's our position for us. Like actually, many years ago, one time I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada, like the deities on the altar, Prabhupada on one side and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj on the other side, and they were preaching. So I went up and I asked that, why are you doing this? That there's, you know, so much others can do. And Srila Prabhupada responded, he said that this mission would go on even if we have to do it ourselves. So it's in your interest to partake so that you can also get benefit of devotional service. But it's going to go on anyway.
It will go on, but we have to make fortunate ourselves and engaging others. That will not go on until we act.
Yes, so that's a personal effort. Like Srila Prabhupada, he said, look at me, you know, I'm working 24 hours a day. Follow my example. Stitidi Muni, last one.
Yeah, Panchagoda raised a few points there. But this is just not big points. But on the Universal Form, he wasn't actually killing the soldiers in the battlefield there. It was a vision for Arjuna. Mm-hmm. You know, so in that direct sense. But then, you know, you're thinking about Spanish. All right, you're right.
Okay.
Just teasing.
Okay.
They speak Spanish in the heavenly planets too. But I know you're right. You're right. I'm not going to argue with you about that. Mm-hmm. But and then you know, like, oh, Krishna killed him or somebody killed him. the thought came, from Krishna's perspective, it could be as about as profound as I took away all their toys and then I gave them another set of toys. You know, I mean, to us, we're in this form and this life and it's just everything and it's my God. But we're going through these things, it's like another set of toys, you know. Now we're this, now we're that, you know. But his eternal relationship nonetheless remains intact with these jivas.
Yes, so that relationship is there, that's eternal, but at the same time, it's dormant. So,
well, it's from the jiva side, but yeah, not from Krishna's side.
No, no, not from Krishna's side, yeah. The Krishna is always waiting for when we would turn around. Okay, so...
That those who actually had love for the Lord, they went to Golok. Those who did not have love, like Shishupal, only merged. So that is not decided by Krishna, that is by our individual.
Yeah, so
even the battlefield took place, but each individual soul, how they want to see Krishna, how they want to serve, their destiny depends on that.
Yes, so the whole point is that Krishna is there waiting for everyone, for Shishupal and for the gopis also. You know, he's waiting for everyone. So it's on us. Whenever we are ready, then, you know, Krishna is always there with open arms. So that's our position. Just like the parents are always there with open arms waiting for the naughty kid to turn around, to come back to his senses, to come back to his parents. They're always willing. So anyway, thank you so very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.